It's going.
What happened to this first one?
I think y'all get started.
Okay. Well, we left off in, I don't know where we left off. First Samuel? I don't know if it was. Well, we'll have to pick up at verse, or chapter 17. I believe we left off in 17. Because I said we'll find out what he said next week, but I don't know what we said.
The chapter was 22 on the 30.
Oh, we did?
Cliffhanger.
Yeah.
That's
right.
Cliffhanger. You know which cliff?
I forgot what cliff it was. So we'll go back to 17 then, just move forward. Since we skipped over that. No, we covered Goliath.
Yeah.
Yeah, we covered Goliath. Okay, 17. Okay, well, we'll go back to 22 then.
Girl's good.
Somebody's got to pay attention, right? Chapter 22, David therefore departed. This was David is on the run from Saul. After, you know, Saul is actually David's father-in-law, because he gave him his wife after he defeated the, I don't know if we covered that, after he defeated the Philistines. And David has he's on the run because, number one, I guess we will have to backtrack a little bit. Verse chapter 19. And we may have to go back farther than that. Yeah, go back to chapter 18. Verse 6. Well, verse 1. And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day, and would let him go no more home to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant, because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him, and gave it to David and his garments, even to his sword, and to his bow, and to his girdles. And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him, and behaved himself wisely, and Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants. And it came to pass, as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women came out of all cities of Israel, singing and dancing, to meet King Saul with tabrets, with joy, and with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played, and said, Saul hath slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom? And Saul eyed David from that day and forward. And it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house, and David played with his hand, and as at other times, and there was a javelin in Saul's hand. And Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it. And David avoided out of his presence twice. And Saul was afraid of David, because the Lord was with him, and was departed from Saul. So we see, here's the turn right here. He'd already told Saul that his time was up. And now David comes on the scene, because Samuel had told him previous chapters that he was going to take the kingdom and give it to a neighbor who was better than him. And I think we were talking about that last week, Ed, and they said, they've said Saul has slain his thousands, David his 10,000s, and he said, what's next? The kingdom? Well, yeah. Because God had already told him through Samuel, that's what I'm going to give him, is the kingdom. But David, and we'll see his, maybe we'll see his heart, he never spoke against Saul. He never turned against him. He was always loyal, even to the end. He was loyal unto David, unto Saul. And that shows where God said, this is a man after my own heart. Even though David had some faults, the Lord still, he was running, and the Lord still upheld him. And he never questioned God, and he never spoke against the king, no matter what happened. Now that's a man of, besides the matter of Bathsheba, that was a man of integrity. So, and it was the Lord. He said he was better than Saul, and he proved to be better than Saul. So Saul eyed him. That, you know what? That is, I can see where every time David would come in the room, he'd probably give him that evil eye, you know, like
your grandson would.
I'm going to get you. So, and he tried to kill him twice with the javelin. And verse 12, and Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him and was departed from Saul. Verse 15, wherefore when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, he was afraid of him. But all Israel and Judah loved David because he went out and came in before them. Now David is, he's gone a long way from the sheepfold now. He's become quite a warrior at this point, where he's going in and coming out with the battle. He's fought against the Philistines. He's taken a lot of land. And it's all in honor of Saul. It's ironic. And he didn't cause those women to sing. But Saul didn't like it. He was nothing like jealousy, huh? Or envy. That's why they got the Lord. The scripture said they, but Pilate knew that for envy, they wanted to crucify him. And the jealousy, the green-eyed monster, the green ogre. Verse 17, and Saul said to David, behold my elder daughter Merab, her will I give thee to wife, only be thou valiant for me and fight the Lord's battles. For Saul said, let not mine hand be upon him, but let the hand of the Philistines be upon him. And David said unto Saul, who am I, and what is my life, or my father's family in Israel, that I should be son-in-law to the king? Verse 21, and Saul said, I will give him her, that she may be a snare to him, and that the hand of the Philistines may be against him. Wherefore Saul said to David, thou shalt this day be my son-in-law in the one of the twain. Saul's older daughter was offered to David, but Michal, his younger daughter, is the one who loved David. He's got a little Jacob-esque in him, doesn't he? You know what happened to Jacob. But Saul, he has evil intentions from the start. He says, I'll give him my daughter to trap him. So you go out and fight for me, and I'll give you my daughter. But he's hoping that David gets killed in battle. But again, it didn't work out that way. Verse 24. And the servants of Saul told him, saying, on this manner spake David. And Saul said, thus shall ye say to David, the king desireth not any dowry, but 100 foreskins of the Philistines to be avenged of the king's enemies. But Saul thought to make David fall by the hand of the Philistines. Wherefore, verse 27, wherefore David arose and went, he and his men, and slew of the Philistines 200 men. And David brought their foreskins, and they gave them in full tale to the king, that he might be the king's son-in-law. And Saul gave him Michal, his daughter, to wife. And Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with David, and that Michal, Saul's daughter, loved him. And Saul was yet the more afraid of David, and Saul became David's enemy continually. You know, there is a verse that's just reading that where he says he saw and knew. That made me think about the, just to deviate a little bit, the passage in Galatians when Paul went up by revelation and he said they saw the gospel, and then in another verse he said they perceived it. So he presented the evidence before him. They saw it and they perceived it. And Saul, he saw David working, and after he didn't fall in battle and he came back, he knew then that the Lord was with him. He could have just took Samuel's word for it. He saw it and he knew that the Lord was with David. So if the Lord's with David, guess who he's not with? He's not with Saul. 19, verse 30. Then the princes of the Philistines went forth, and it came to pass, after they went forth, that David behaved himself more wisely than all the servants of Saul, so that his name was much set by. That means that he had become popular. He had become highly esteemed. I believe that's exactly what one of the meanings is. He had become highly esteemed. All Israel, you know, you hear what David did? You know what David did? You know, David got the Philistines. You know, David won this battle. Or, you know, David. Everybody's talking about David. And Saul is second fiddle now. Can you imagine he goes in and says, Saul, King Saul, do you hear what David did? He probably just, the temperature just... And you know what's, we'll see it. What's interesting is that he always sits around and he has a javelin in his hand. Just like, what is it's all about? He should have been proud of him, right? But, you know, when the scripture said that that the Lord caused the evil spirit to come upon him, I still haven't come to grasp with that, but I believe that, you know, when he withdraws his
right
spirit, then he leaves you to be whatever your flesh dictates.
Nature abhors a vacuum.
And nature what?
Abhors a vacuum. So if the Lord withdraws his hand, it ain't going to stay empty. Something's going to fill it.
Right. And I believe that Saul, his true character, what they told him, how he was in the beginning, his true character began to take over. And he began to become not the king, but he began to become a persecutor against God's man, who is David. 19. And Saul spake to Jonathan his son and to all his servants that they should kill David. But Jonathan, Saul's son, delighted much in David. And Jonathan told David, saying, Saul, my father, seeketh to kill thee. Now, therefore, I pray thee, take heed to thyself until the morning, and abide in a secret place, and hide thyself. And I will go out and stand beside my father in the field where thou art, and I will commune with my father of thee, and what I see I will tell thee. And Jonathan spake good of David unto Saul his father, and said unto him, let not the king sin against his servant, against David, because he hath not sinned against thee, and because his works have been to thee word very good. For he did put his life in his hand and slew the Philistine, and the Lord wrought a great salvation, for all Israel saw it, and didst rejoice. Wherefore then wilt thou sin against innocent blood to slay David without a cause? And Saul hearkened unto the voice of Jonathan, and Saul sware, as the Lord liveth, he shall not be slain. Here's another thing, you know, where Saul says this a lot, as the Lord liveth. And the Lord holds him to every time he says that. Even though he wants to kill David, he's already said it. He said, as the Lord liveth, David will not die. And you know how David dies?
Old age.
He dies of old age. As much as he went out to battle, in and out of battle, he never dies at the hand of man.
So you mean even though Saul was lying, it was actually a true prophecy?
Right.
Because he said the magic words.
Right, as the Lord lives.
As he's still in the position.
Yeah. Right.
Until he dies, and you can see he waffles.
So Saul went way before he did.
Saul went before he did, yes. Verse 9. And the evil spirit from the Lord was upon Saul as he sat in his house with what?
His javelin.
In his hand, and David played with his hand, and Saul sought to smite David even to the wall with the javelin, but he slipped away out of Saul's presence, and he smote the javelin into the wall, and David fled and escaped that night. Saul also sent messengers unto David's house to watch him and to slay him in the morning. And Michal, David's wife, told him, saying, "If thou save not thy life tonight, tomorrow thou shalt be slain." So Michal let David down through a window, and he went and fled and escaped. And Michal took an image and laid it in the bed and put a pillow of goat's hair for his bolster and covered it with a cloth. And when Saul sent messengers to take David, she said, "He is sick." And Saul sent the messengers again to see David, saying, bring him up to me in the bed, that I may slay him." And when the messengers were come in, behold, there was an image in the bed with a pillow of goat's hair for his bolster. And Saul said unto Michal, "Why hast thou deceived me and sent away mine enemy, that he is escaped?" And Michal answered, "He said unto me, let me go. Why should I kill thee?" So you can see this man is, he's quite wicked. Where he is so eager to kill David, he says, "Well, send him up to me in the bed, that I may kill him." The man is sick. And he says, "Well, send him in the bed." You think he wants to kill David? Very, very much so. But what I like is his wife. Jonathan is Saul's son. He loves David. David's married his older daughter. David married his younger daughter. Everybody loves David except Saul. And Michal says, "If you don't leave tonight, you'll be dead in the morning." And she, do you ever seen Escape from Alcatraz, where he makes the dummy, dummy up and puts it in the bed? That's what Michal does. She puts a dummy head in the bed to pretend like it's David.
It was a household god.
It was right.
They come in different sizes, so this one.
This was a full size one. It was a teraphim, right? A
teraphim.
Exactly.
For prosperity, good luck, and comfort.
Like Saint Christopher. Or Mary that you put in the yard. Somebody's been doing some studying. I like that. Verse 11. Well, we passed that. Verse 19. And it was told Saul, saying, "Behold, David is at Naoth in Ramah." And Saul sent messengers to take David. And when they saw the company of the prophets prophesying and Samuel standing as appointed over them, the Spirit of God was upon the messengers of Saul, and they prophesied, and they also prophesied. And when it was told Saul, he sent other messengers, and they prophesied likewise. And Saul sent messengers again the third time, and they prophesied also. Then went he also to Ramah, and came to a great well that is in Sikhu, and he asked and said, "Where are Samuel and David?" And one said, "Behold, they be at Naoth in Ramah." And he went thither to Naoth in Ramah, and the Spirit of God was upon him also. And he went on and prophesied until he came to Naoth in Ramah. And he stripped off his clothes and also and prophesied before Samuel in like manner, and lay down naked all that day and all that night. Wherefore they say, "Is Saul also among the prophets?" You can't beat God.
No.
You know what he says? He says, Roy, go up and get him. So Roy goes up to David, and he begins to prophesy. I can just bet, and this is all speculation, they might go up there and say, I'm coming to kill David. And before they get there, they say, blessed be David of the Lord God of Israel. Blessed be, long live the King David. And he says, oh, send another one. Okay, Ron, you go. Ron goes, I'm here to kill David. And he says, he's over there. And he goes, oh, blessed be King David. Blessed be King David, of the Lord God of Israel. Long live the King. And he says, okay, Ed, you go. Ed goes, blessed be David. And he finally gets mad. He says, you know what? I'll just go myself. Why send boys to do a man's job? And he goes in, and he says, where's Samuel? Where's David? And he says, they're over there. And he goes in, and he says, blessed be David. And he and he strips naked, and he's on the ground prophesying all day and all night. God has a sense of humor, doesn't he? And verse 20, and David fled from Naoth and Ramah, and came and said before Jonathan, what have I done? What is my iniquity? And what is my sin before thy father, that he seeketh my life? And he said unto him, God forbid that thou shalt not die. Behold, my father will do nothing, either great or small, but that he will show it me. And why should my father hide this thing from me? It is not so. And David sware moreover and said, thy father certainly knoweth that I have found grace in thine eyes. And he saith, let not Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved. But truly, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, there is but a step between me and death. There's a, you hear the old saying there, I'm just 1 foot between the grave? There he is. He says, there's just 1 step between me and the grave. Jonathan doesn't think his father is out to get David. But he is. And he says, he would tell me if he was. And he says, no, he knows that you are with me. So why would he tell you that? Verse 4. Then said Jonathan unto David, whatsoever thy soul desireth, I will even do it for thee. And David said unto Jonathan, behold, tomorrow is the new moon, and I should not fail to sit with the king at meat. But let me go, that I might hide myself in the field until the third day at even. Now Jonathan has set up a secret test between him and David. He's going to go out, and he says, I'm going to shoot my arrows. And he says, now if I shoot this arrow and you see my servant come out and get him, he says, everything's fine. You come on back. He says, but if I shoot that arrow and you don't see him, he's coming to get you. So he goes out, and look at verse 20. He says, and I will shoot 3 arrows on the side thereof, as though I shot at a mark. And behold, I will send a lad, saying, go find out the arrows. If I expressly say unto the lad, behold, the arrows are on this side of thee, take them, then come thou, for there is peace to thee, and no hurt, as the Lord liveth. But if I say thus unto the young man, behold, the arrows are beyond thee, go thy way, for the Lord hath sent thee away. As touching the matter which thou have and I have spoken of, behold, the Lord be between thee and me forever. So David hid himself in the field, and when the new moon was come, the king sat down to eat meat. And the king sat upon his seat as at other times, even upon his seat by the wall. Guess what he's got? It doesn't say it, but I bet he's got it. And Jonathan arose, and Abner sat by Saul's side, and David's place was empty. Nevertheless, Saul spake not anything that day, for he thought, something hath befallen him. He is not clean. Surely he is not clean. And it came to pass on the morrow, which was the second day of the month, that David's place was empty. And Saul said unto Jonathan his son, wherefore cometh not the son of Jesse to meat, neither yesterday nor today? And Jonathan answered Saul, David earnestly asked leave of me to go to Bethlehem. And he said, let me go, I pray thee, for our family hath a sacrifice in the city, and my brother, he hath commanded me to be there, and now if I have found favor in thine eyes, let me get away, I pray thee, and see my brethren. Therefore he cometh not unto the king's table. Then Saul's anger was kindled against Jonathan, and he said unto him, Thou son of the perverse, rebellious woman, do not I know that thou hast chosen the son of Jesse to thine own confusion, and unto the confusion of thy mother's nakedness? For as long as the son of Jesse liveth upon the ground, thou shalt not be established, nor thy kingdom. Wherefore now send and fetch him unto me, for he shall surely die. Well, there's another slogan. We won't repeat that, but he says, Thou son of the perverse woman. Well, you just use your imagination what he's calling him. But he says, as long as you hold that attitude towards David, you'll never be king. The kingdom is yours. But Jonathan knows, he says, David is the king. David's the next king. Even Jonathan knows this. But Saul won't give it up. And he says, as long as the son of Jesse liveth upon the ground, thou shalt not be established. That means your kingdom, it won't be set up. But it's not his. Does it make you think about preachers today? The first thing they do is do what? They get their sons and put them next in line. No matter what they believe, no matter what they do, we've seen this from the past history. Yeah. Eli, his sons, even Samuel's sons, they just put them in there. And as soon as that happens, it starts going downhill. When Samuel went to pick out David, you know what he did? He picked the one he liked. When he saw him come, he says, well, that's a tall, dark, and handsome one. He says, it's that one. And the Lord says, not him. Well, what about number two? Not him. Number three? Not him. Four? He went all the way down to the last one. And David, you know, it said he was ruddy. He was, you remember that boy that was in here? For, he was ruddy. Looked like him. You see him being a king, a warrior? God said, that's the one right there. Can you imagine that? So if we pick one, we would pick what's Turner's son's name?
James.
We pick James. But the Lord said, no, it's the little one with the red hair. That's my man right there. Okay, verse 32. And Jonathan answered Saul his father and said unto him, wherefore shall he be slain? What hath he done? And Saul cast a javelin at him to smite him, whereby Jonathan knew that it was determined of his father to slay David. Verse 41, as soon as the lad was gone, David arose out of his, this is after Jonathan shoots the arrows, as soon as the lad was gone, David rose out of his place toward the south and fell on his face to the ground and bowed himself three times, and they kissed one another and wept with one another until David exceeded. And Jonathan said to David, go in peace, for as much as we have sworn both of us in the name of the Lord, saying, the Lord be between me and thee and between my seed and thy seed forever. And he arose and departed, and Jonathan went into the city. Then came David to Nob, to Ahimelech the priest. And David's on the run now. And Ahimelech was afraid at the meeting of David and said unto him, why art thou alone and no man with thee? And David said unto Ahimelech the priest, the king hath commanded me a business and hath said unto me, let no man know anything of the business whereabout I send thee. And what I have commanded thee, I have appointed my servants to such and such a place. Now David's lying. The king hadn't sent him on any business, but he's scared. You know, and this is where he should really trust the Lord, but you can see that he's on his own. He doesn't know who's who. So he might go there and he'll find out he can't trust anybody but God. So he goes to the king, and the priest is afraid. He's like, what are you doing here by yourself? Well, you know, he says, well, it's important business. The king told me, I left in such a hurry that I couldn't take anything with me. And you can see he's scared, because what will happen is the word will get back, and it does, that David's in Nob. And here he comes. 22, how about verse 5? You know what?
Wait a minute. When you finished last week and we read verse 3, that's when you...
Okay.
That's where you left off and said, and that'll have to wait till next week.
Now, therefore, what is under thine hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread in mine hand, or what there is present. I don't think so. No. But anyway, and...
22, chapter 22, verse 3.
Okay, well, let's go back to 21 for a minute.
Oh, I thought you said 22, verse 5.
I did, but I said, let's go back and read this first.
Sorry. Where are we going?
21. Now, therefore, this is David. Now, therefore, what is under thine hand? He's asking the priest. 21.
Okay.
What is under thine hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread in mine hand, or what there is present. And the priest answered David and said, there is no common bread under mine hand, but there is hallowed bread. If the young men have kept themselves at least from women, and David answered the priest and said unto him, of a truth, women have been kept from us about these 3 days since I came out, and the vessels of the young men are holy, and the bread is in the manner common, yea, though it were sacrificed this day in the vessel. So David's saying, we've kept ourselves. And he said, well, it's just bread. So even though it was used in the priest's office, which makes me think about Paul, he says, if a thing is holy, it's holy to the man who esteems it holy. And if it's defiled, it's defiled unto the man who says it's defiled. But he says, the meat is just meat. So David is saying, and he's right. He said, it's just bread.
And I'm hungry.
And I'm hungry. And the men are hungry. Verse 6. So the priest gave him hallowed bread, for there was no bread there but the showbread that was taken from before the Lord, to put hot bread in the day when it was taken away. Now there was a certain man of the servants of Saul was there that day, detained before the Lord. And his name was Doeg, an Edomite, the chiefest of the herdmen that belonged to Saul. And David said unto Ahimelech, and is there not here under thine hand spear or sword? For I have neither brought my sword nor my weapons with me, because the king's business required haste. And the priest said, the sword of Goliath the Philistine, whom thou slewest in the valley of Elah, behold, it is here wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If thou wilt take that, take it, for there is no other save that here. And David said, there is none like that. Give it me. So here's things that stick out to me. Is David he's so popular, they've got the sword of Goliath in the temple behind the ephod. That is... it's God's garments for the priest. And they've got the sword behind it. So you know when they said David began to be much set by, he was really popular. Or you can say David was the man. And everybody knew it. And when he shows up, I mean, what is it that they wouldn't do for him? Not much. Everybody was pretty much on his side. But here's one man who's there, Doeg, Saul's man. And he says, well, we won't get that far. But he takes Goliath's sword in verse 9, sword. And David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul, and went to Achish, the king of Gath. What happened in Gath? Who's from Gath?
Goliath.
So that was the Philistines' champion. And David's going back to the city of the people he slew, and they slew his champion. Verse 11, and the servants of Achish said unto him, is not this David the king of the land? Did not they sing one to another of him in dances, saying, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s? And David laid up these words in his heart and was sore afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. And he changed his behavior before them, and he feigned himself mad in their hands and scrabbled on the doors of the gate and let his spittle fall down upon his beard.
True.
Then said Achish unto his servants, lo, ye see the man is mad. Wherefore then have ye brought him to me? Have I need of madmen, that ye have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house? So here you got David the king, who's on the run, and he's going to Achish, and they find out he's there. And you can see him, he just, he begins to foam at the mouth. And you think, well, what can I do with this man? Surely he's mad. And I think it was the fear, and we talked about that, the fear of man causes a snare. And David, instead of going to the Lord from the beginning, he's running in fear. And I really believe that the Lord's got all this worked out. He knows this. Mm-hmm. And he's just letting it play out and letting David make his own choices, but he already knows the end result. But you can see what man, when he loses faith, loses focus, he'll do anything to preserve himself.
His own wits.
Back to his, you know, he's using his own, somebody said this, his own human viewpoint. He's looking at the situation. Who chose him?
God.
So he's if he would have just thought back and says, God chose me to be king. I'm not king.
Sort of like when the Lord said that this is the land I'm going to give you. And they were like, we can't take that land. Those guys are big.
Right. And you know, before I lose focus, he raised up David when the nation is still in rebellion. They're still in rebellion as a whole because they picked Saul to be a king in their rebellion. But God, in his grace, has interjected into this equation again, and he's going to raise up David, and with David, he's going to do something that's nothing short of miraculous. In his, I would say, like Paul says, his exceeding grace. He doesn't have to do this, but he gives them David, and he does something with David and Solomon that shows nothing but his grace to that nation. And that's way over in some other chapters and books. So, verse 22. Now we'll get to your David, therefore, departed and escaped to the cave Adullam, and when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down to thither to him, and everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them, and there were with him about 400 men. And David went thence to Mizpah of Moab, and he said unto the king of Moab, let my father and my mother, I pray thee, come forth and be with you till I know what God will do for me. Is that where I left? And I said, we're going to find out what.
Yep.
No, I said, we'll find out what he said next week.
Yeah, that's where you left off.
What God said? Okay. Verse 4, and he brought them out. He brought them before the king of Moab, and they dwelt with him all the while that David was in the hold. And the prophet Gad said unto David, abide not in the hold, depart and get thee into the land of Judah. Then David departed and came into the forest of Hereth. When Saul heard that David was discovered and the men that were with him, now Saul abode in Gibeah under a tree in Ramah, having his spear in his hand, and all his servants were standing about him. Can you picture that? Can you? He's mad. Here's a man. You see, he's underneath the tree. He's got his posse around him, and he's sitting there with his javelin in his hand, mad. And you can tell that that's a man on a mission. He wants David bad. Then Saul said unto his servants that stood about him, "Hear now, ye Benjaminites, will the son of Jesse give every one of you fields and vineyards and make you all captains of thousands and captains of hundreds, that all of you have conspired against me? Then there is none that showeth me that my son hath made a league with the son of Jesse, and there is none of you that is sorry for me, or showeth unto me that my son has stirred up my servant against me to lie in wait as at this day." Everything's about Saul, isn't it? And he thinks, everybody's against me now. You didn't tell me that my son was with my enemy, and you're conspiring against me. You're not on my side. But who's against him, really?
The Lord.
The Lord. He can't run. Now, he won't run this one out. The Lord will put him away, and he will install his man. Verse 13, "And Saul said unto him, Why have ye conspired against me, thou and the son of Jesse, in that thou hast given him bread and a sword, and has inquired of God for him, that he should rise against me to lie in wait as at this day?" David's not against Saul. It's Saul against David. Right. Verse 17, "And the king said unto the footmen that stood about him, Turn and slay the priest of the Lord, because their hand also is with David, and because they knew when he fled and did not show it unto me. But the servants of the king would not put forth their hand to fall upon the priest of the Lord. And the king said unto Doeg, Turn thou and fall upon the priest. And Doeg the Edomite turned, and he fell upon the priest, and slew on that day 65 persons that did wear a linen ephod." 85. 85 people. 85 priests. 85 priests Saul gave the okay to kill. He's long gone, isn't he?
What is it that's said by Edomites? They got bad paperwork.
They're actually where they are. Verse 19, "And Nob, the city of the priests, smote he with the edge of the sword, both men and women, children and sucklings, and oxen and asses and sheep with the edge of the sword. And one of the sons of Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub, named Abiathar, escaped and fled after David. And Abiathar showed David that Saul had slain the priest, the Lord's priest. And David said unto Abiathar, I knew it that day when Doeg the Edomite was there, that he would surely tell Saul, I have occasioned the death of all the persons of thy father's house. Abide thou with me, fear not, for he that seeketh my life seeketh thy life, but be with me, thou shalt be, but with me, thou shalt be in safeguard." I like that. I think David's on the rebound now, because he's got confidence. That reminds me of what Paul said, unless you abide in the ship, you won't be saved, because the Lord had told him he was going to Rome. Now, I'm just interjecting this. I believe the Lord, you know, so told David, so you're going to be all right this time. You're going to be all right. And David says, you just hang out with me. It's going to be okay. By this time now, he's not by himself. He's got about 400 or 500 people with him now. So he's got a little following, but they're all running.
Right.
They're all running from Saul. Chapter 23. Then they told David, saying, "Behold, the Philistines fight against Keilah, and they robbed the threshing floors. Therefore David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go and smite the Philistines, these Philistines? And the Lord said unto David, go and smite the Philistines and save Keilah. And David's men said unto him, behold, we be afraid here in Judah. How much more then if we come to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines? And then David inquired of the Lord yet again. And the Lord answered him and said, arise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into thine hand. So David and his men went to Keilah and fought with the Philistines and brought away their cattle and smote them with a great slaughter. So David saved the inhabitants of Keilah. And it came to pass when Abiathar the son of Ahimelech fled to David to Keilah that he came down with an ephod in his hand. This is how David knew to go up. This is not in chronological order, but Abiathar the priest comes down with the ephod. And I believe that's how he inquired of the Lord, was with the ephod. So in verse 11, he says, verse 10, then said David, O Lord God of Israel, thy servant has certainly heard that Saul seeketh to come to Keilah to destroy the city for my sake. Actually, I better go back to verse 6. And it came to pass when Abiathar the son of Ahimelech fled to David to Keilah that he came down with an ephod in his hand. And it was told Saul that David was come to Keilah, and Saul said, God hath delivered him into mine hand, for he is shut in by entering into a town that hath gates and bars. And Saul called all the people together to war to go down to Keilah to besiege David and his men. And David knew that Saul secretly practiced mischief against him. And he said unto Abiathar the priest, bring hither the ephod. Then said David, O Lord God of Israel, thy servant hath certainly heard that Saul seeketh to come to Keilah to destroy the city for my sake. Will the men of Keilah deliver me into his hand? Will Saul come down, as thy servant hath heard? O Lord God of Israel, I beseech thee, tell thy servant. And the Lord said, he will come down. Then said David, will the men of Keilah deliver me and my men into the hand of Saul? And the Lord said, they will deliver thee up. Then David and his men, which were about 600, arose and departed out of Keilah and went whithersoever they could. And it was told Saul that David escaped from Keilah, and he forbade to go forth. And David abode in the wilderness in strongholds and remained in a mountain in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul sought him every day, but God delivered him not into his hand. So you can see that, I don't know how much time is elapsing here, but Saul is still on the hunt. He won't let it go. This David is in the wilderness now, but he's still seeking occasion everywhere he goes. I can see him. You know, anybody heard where David is? You heard where David is? And when he hears where David is, he's going after him. He's in the wilderness, and we won't read the verse, but he finally confronts him. He says, who am I that you spending this much energy on? Why are you coming out? He said, I'm a flea. We'll find that verse. Verse 24, chapter 24, verse 11. How many chapters we got? We will finish today. Maybe not. Since Karen looked like that, she looked like, huh?
I look skeptical.
I was just going to skip some.
We can give you 2.5 hours.
Everything you want.
Okay. Verse 11. Moreover, my father, see ye, this is David. David has gone into the cave where Saul was sleeping, took his skirt. He could have killed him, but he took his skirt just to show him that I'm not against you. Verse 11, he says, moreover, my father, see ye the skirt of thy robe in my hand? For in that I cut off the skirt of thy robe and kill thee not, know thou and see that there is neither evil nor transgression in my hand, and I have not sinned against thee, yet thou huntest my soul to take it. The Lord judge between me and thee, and the Lord avenge me of thee, but mine hand shall not be upon thee. As said the proverb of the ancients, wickedness proceedeth from the wicked, but mine hand shall not be upon thee. After whom is the king of Israel come out? After whom dost thou pursue? After a dead dog? After a flea? The Lord therefore judge between me and thee, and see and plead my cause, and deliver me out of thine hand. And it came to pass, when David had made an end of speaking these words to Saul, that Saul said, Is this thy voice, my son David? And Saul lifted up his voice and wept. Can you trust that?
So, not.
David could have ended it right there. But I like what David said. He said, the Lord avenge me of thee. He said, I'm not gonna smite you. He said, I'll let the Lord take care of that. And that's the best thing he could have done, because he's still king. He's still the king. Verse 20. And now, behold, I know well that thou shalt surely be king. This is Saul talking to David. And that the kingdom of Israel shall be established in thine hand. Swear now, therefore, unto me by the Lord, that thou wilt not cut off my seed after me, that thou wilt not destroy my name out of my father's house. And David sware unto Saul, and Saul went home, but David and his men got them up into the hold. Do you think Saul came back again after this?
Probably. He's a determined man.
He's a determined man. Look at verse.
Double-minded man too, because it seems like he's sincere at that moment.
Right. That's it. He waffles back and forth. That's, and you kind of look at it that sometimes he's his right mind, but then that scripture says, and then the evil spirit comes upon him.
And there's that little devil whispering in that ear.
I think he gets those fits of jealousy and it just takes him over. And everything's good until he hears that name.
Right, he seems to be conflicted. He's not God's man anymore.
Right.
You know, knows it, yeah.
There's nothing like being replaced, right?
Right.
Look at 26, chapter 26, verse 26, verse 1. And the Ziphites, Saul's on the run again, and the Ziphites came unto Saul to Gibeah, saying, doth not David hide himself in the hill of Hasselah, which is before Jeshimon? Then Saul arose and went down to the wilderness of Ziph, having 3,000 chosen men of Israel with him to seek David in the wilderness. He's back again. He just said what? I know now that you're king, and I'm not going to chase you anymore. I don't know how much time goes by, but they come to say, you know, Saul, David's in Ziph. And he said, let's go, boys. One more time. And Saul pitched in the hill of Hasselah, which is before Jeshimon, by the way, but David abode in the wilderness, and he saw that Saul came after him into the wilderness. David therefore sent out spies and understood that Saul was come in very deed. And David arose and came to the place where Saul had pitched, and David beheld the place where Saul lay, and Abner the son of Ner, the captain of his host. And Saul lay in the trench, and the people pitched round about him. Verse 7. So David and Abishai came to the people by night, and behold, Saul lay sleeping within the trench, and his spear stuck in the ground. He really likes that spear, doesn't he? And his bolster, but Abner and the people lay round about him. Then said Abishai to David, God hath delivered thine enemy into thy hand this day. Now therefore, let me smite him, I pray thee, with the spear, even to the earth at once, and I will not smite him the second time. Abishai said, let me at him. He says, I'll get him, and I won't have to do it twice. And David said unto Abishai, destroy him not, for who can stretch forth his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? David said, furthermore, as the Lord liveth, the Lord shall smite him. Or his day shall come to die, for he shall descend into battle and perish. The Lord forbid that I should stretch forth my hand against the Lord's anointed, but I pray thee, take now the spear that is at his bolster and the cruse of water, and let us go. So David took the spear and the cruse of water from Saul's bolster, and they got them away. And no man saw it or nor knew it, neither awaked, for they were all asleep, because a deep sleep from the Lord was fallen upon them. And we're going to stop right there. Again. 26. Chapter 26.
Number 12.
26 verse. What verse was that?
12.
All right. Well, let's pray then. We'll comment. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. We don't want to rush through it, Lord, but we also want to get a better understanding. And we just pray that some of these things are become clear to us as we go through it. Lord, help me focus on the things that you want us to know, not to belabor any points that are unnecessary, for we know that all scripture is given by inspiration and it is profitable. So we just, leave the instruction into your hand, Lord, and lead us as we go along, that we might get a better understanding of these things. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
That is fine.